Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. And this morning we have with us John Ball with Stifel Nicolaus, and he is the managing director. We're excited to have him with us today. He used to write a column for Floor Focus magazine. So, John, how are you doing this morning?
Doing great, Kemp. Good to be on the program.
I thought it would be good to have you with us this morning because after all of the public companies have reported their second quarter results, you know, it's a good time to talk a little bit about that. Can you tell us, as you heard those results from these public companies that you follow, were there any surprises?
Well, I think as the June quarter developed, the headlines got progressively more negative, particularly in the month of June itself, and it resulted in even more pronounced weakness, particularly on the residential side, with unit volumes, for example, in carpet falling in the mid to high teens on the residential carpet side, in tandem with ever-escalating raw material costs. So while we were certainly negative on the quarter going into the quarter, it wound up being even worse than your most negative thoughts going in.
So as you look at the, I mean, we're talking about Mohawk, Berkshire Hathaway, and you can see Shaw, talk about Dixie, Interface, and Armstrong. I guess of all those, Interface was the one that actually had some fairly good results. What do you think separates them from the rest of the group?
Well, Interface is obviously tied almost exclusively to the commercial market, which we know has held up much better on the residential market to date, although there does seem to be some darkening clouds on the horizon as it relates to the commercial business. But in addition to that, of course, Interface is a leader in carpet tile. There's no doubt that tile continues to take share from broadloom in the commercial arena. So that combination, commercial holding up better than residential, and tile taking share from broadloom is driving Interface's results.
Okay. And as you look at the other majors, what is your outlook for when things might start to improve with some of these other guys?
Well, we have two battlefronts, Kemp. There's the demand issue and then the cost issue. I'm more optimistic on the cost issue than I am on the demand issue in terms of improvement near term. We've obviously already seen oil prices drop dramatically from a peak in the barrel of oil from roughly $145 to about $113. We will see what impact that will have on chemical pricing going forward. For those companies like a Mohawk dealing with FIFO accounting, you'll continue to see cost pressures on the income statement in the third quarter. But certainly the outlook there, it looks like we've broken the back on the ever-escalating trend in oil, and that has bullish implications for perhaps the fourth quarter and going into 2009. On the demand front, as I just mentioned, commercially it looks like we'll be slipping, particularly in the office area going forward. In the residential market, we continue to grope for a bottom. It's hard to conceive that we're going to see unit declines in the double-digit rates continue into 2009. Having said that, we don't expect demand on the residential side to improve in 2009, perhaps just go down at a less steep rate.
So you don't even think we're at the bottom yet from that perspective?
No. It depends on how you define bottoms. I look at units, not dollars, because we're looking at fairly rampant inflation and a lot of price increases here, and a lower rate of decline in units, at least on Wall Street, can be seen as an inflection point. But technically, until you flatten or go up in units, I wouldn't call it a bottom. But it looks to me like we'll continue to run negative units somewhere into the early to mid part of next year. But again, I don't expect it to be at a rate in the, 10 to 15% range, which is where we're tracking in the month of June.
Okay. So the reason for that is, as you look at the housing market, there's, I guess, almost a year of existing property in inventory, and for some of the factors that tells you there's more negative volume to come.
Well, obviously on the residential front, you're dealing with the construction piece, which we know is exceedingly weak. There's not going to be demand for an increase in construction until the supply of homes is soaked up. And as you pointed out, I think we're running now at 11 months of supply. of homes for sale, and that number is expected to go up to perhaps peak at 12 or 13 months. On the housing turnover number, which ultimately drives the remodel activity, there's a slump there. Until we see effectively home prices stabilize, we're going to continue to see pressure here. Along with all of this, of course, is tightening credit conditions. The ability for the consumer to borrow, for example, on a HELOC or home equity line, greatly diminished. So the powder, if you will, to spend is been taken away. And we've got to see these conditions improve. It's tough to say when it's precisely going to happen, but clearly there's more negative momentum in the near term.
As you listen to all of these conference calls with all these public companies, do they all agree that that 09 is going to, as you say, is going to be continued decline from a residential standpoint?
Well, most management teams are reluctant to comment on 09 at this point. I don't know. I wouldn't want to put words in their mouth. These are really my views, Kemp, that we'll certainly see negative momentum continue into the early part, perhaps the mid part of next year. Don't know what will happen after that. Again, I would watch the price of homes and the supply of homes for sale as leading indicators for when things will get better. Those leading indicators right now are continuing to point in a negative direction.
Isn't this somewhat regional, though? I mean, aren't there some pockets that are okay and then pockets that are pretty weak?
Yes. Obviously, when you're dealing with an Armstrong or a Mohawk, they're selling nationally. But yes, there are regions, Texas being a good example, where there's relative strength. Obviously, all the housing-affected markets like California and Arizona, Vegas, Florida, Northern Virginia remain exceedingly weak.
Well, is there any, as you look at any of this, are there pockets of good news in this, or?
Well, I kind of when we get into negative cycles like this, and certainly this is one of the worst, comparing to 80-82, where we dropped roughly 25% on an annual basis in units, tracking right now at that level of decline from peak to trough in this cycle. I guess if there's any good news, not to be cute, flooring's not going obsolete.
Yeah.
We're going to continue to need to walk on something, just as we continue to sleep in beds and sit on sofas. So what happens in a down cycle is there's a level of pent-up demand that builds. 1983 was a great example. Coming out of that horrific three-year downturn that began in 80, we saw carpet unit demand jump 20% in 1 year. So if there's any good news, is that when it gets better, it will get dramatically better in a short period of time, in my opinion. Many prognosticators are saying when we come out of this housing slump, we'll see a slow recovery. I think as it relates to flooring, we'll see a fairly significant jump when it turns due to all the pent-up demand that's being built, where we're arguably underspending on remodeling homes that need attention.
Now, let me key in on something you said. So you say from a unit perspective, from the peak in 2005, we've seen a 25% drop in units.
That's my forecast. If you look at if you estimate for the third and fourth quarter that we run down about 10% in units and carpet year over year, and we're worse than that in the first half of this year, you will be at a run rate for 08 that will be a similar decline peak to trough from the 05 peak to what we experienced in the 80 to 82 cycle.
Because one of the things that we've noticed is, from a revenue perspective, we're really just back to the 2003 level.
Yeah, and Kemp, we've had obviously an unusual inflationary environment in the raw material costs, resulting in price increases, which going back to the last cycle didn't occur. So I think it's more relevant to look at units to compare the severity of the decline. On revenues, it doesn't look as bad. But all the revenue increases are chasing costs higher and still resulting in lower margins. So the combination of unit declines and rising costs has been extremely painful on profit margins.
Do you see any channel shifts that you're predicting?
Well, typical of a downturn, you'll see a trade down in the mix of what's sold, tending to gravitate to the less expensive goods, which of course have lower margins. We'll see some dislocation. We already have in retailing in those pockets in California and Florida that are being hurt the worst. But no, I don't see right now major shifts in where we're buying flooring. But clearly, sort of hang on environment.
The major companies that, I guess there's five of them that you follow, Berkshire Hathaway or Shaw and Dixie, Interface, Armstrong and Mohawk, do you feel like they'll all make it through this?
Yeah, I'm not overly concerned. Now, we don't technically follow Berkshire Hathaway, which is obviously a bigger company and more an insurance company than anything else. But as I look at Armstrong and Mohawk and Dixie and Interface, I see no financial concerns in terms of getting through the valley to the other side. It's still a fairly disciplined industry in terms of pricing, and I think if you're looking for silver linings here, as painful as this decline has been, what's unique about this decline, and I don't believe there's a period of history where we've seen the level of degradation in unit volume in tandem with escalating costs. Normally, in an environment like this, you'd see demand for raw materials dropping, which it is, resulting in lower costs due to a whole bunch of extraneous factors. We've actually seen rampant inflation in costs. So it's that combination that's put pressure on the income statements for all of these companies. I don't think, as I said at the outset, that the cost pressure is going to continue. That's where I look for some relief and some improvement in profit margins as early as the fourth quarter, even though I predict unit volumes will stay under pressure.
Now, what's your prediction on the price of crude? Do you have one?
Well, no. I'm really commenting on the roughly $30 drop we've already seen.
Yeah.
My personal opinion is that you cannot have global demand falling, which it clearly is. The major economies in the world, ours, Western Europe, Japan, are in varying states of dismay. And it doesn't make common sense that we'd see the rampant levels of escalation in price of commodities in the face of falling demand, the old supply and demand issue. So I think there was a level of financial carry trade with the dollar and other extraneous factors that caused oil to run up so much. We've seen it broken that momentum. So my hope is that we see oil prices settle in an $80 to $100 a barrel level, we'll see. But clearly the trend right now is downward, which is positive.
Well, that'll help in two ways. I mean, not only does it help reduce the escalation of the cost of raw materials and flooring products, but it also frees up disposable income, which allows the consumer to spend more, hopefully, on flooring.
Correct. And I think there's a financial impact, obviously, that higher oil has had that swings favorable. And there's also a psychological impact. Some of the inflation we're talking about isn't just energy; it's food related and other costs. So as we see those come back more into line, that will help. We did, however, have the government stimulate us with a big rebate. Effectively, don't expect that to continue. So, and we have the price of our homes, which is the single largest asset that consumers own, falling fairly significantly. So there are offsetting, but clearly lower oil will help, everything being equal.
Well, I appreciate you being with us this morning. One last question, and then we'll need to run. We're out of time. But do you think this presidential election will have any effect whatsoever on the market?
No, it's hard to say. If we saw a Obama victory, we'd have a democratically controlled Congress and president. And that would normally result in higher taxation, and I'd have some concerns if we saw that transpire. normally what we'd like to see from a financial perspective is a deadlock where Congress and the President are offsets and there's not a a significant change in policy. But I think we've seen some issues with housing and commodities that go beyond the political parties and their control, and those are the bigger issues that need to sort out. So I don't see the election having a major impact on floor covering in 09, 010.
Okay. Well, we've been talking to John Ball, who's managing director of Stifel Nicolaus and actually a former columnist in Floor Focus magazine. And I'm Kemp Haar, and you've been listening to FloorDaily.net.